What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would be very interested if I were the Chicago Bears. I have felt for 2 weeks now, I actually prefer Mike McCarthy in Chicago over Ben Johnson. That doesn't mean anything negative about Ben Johnson. Number one, Mike McCarthy is a great leader. I think we can establish, or that's been established. Number two, he's been there and done that. Number three, he's got a track record of developing quarterbacks in structure. He did it with Aaron Rodgers many years ago. I think he elevated Dak Prescott's game to a level that he consistently played at a top 10 quarterback performance-wise. And Caleb Williams, if you're going to ask me the one thing that he's got to really take that jump on, it's playing in the structure of an offense. That's now, I do think there needs to be a really good offensive coordinator that's with him, scheme-wise, but I've liked him in Chicago for about 2 weeks now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Dan Orlovsky. It's hard to take a guy whose opinion you've kind of trod upon and then use it. Now he's right.
Use it as the basis for your argument.
We're all right. We're all wrong.
Yeah, we're going to be right and wrong. Everyone's got
I don't like him very much. I don't know why.
I don't have...
I think I know why.
Tell me why.
He's one of these guys that when he's on TV, he always is kind of moving. Like, okay, get yourself moving. Act like you know. And he will literally be on television running into the back of the end zone.
Okay, that's an unusual reason for not liking a guy. But I do think it's funny that you always will look at him and see he's the Lions quarterback that stepped out of the end zone.
I can't help it.
I just think he can be a little bit saying things for the sake of saying things.
Right.
And we all fall in that trap a little bit.
Trying to make a splash.
But yeah, I do agree. I do agree with him on this as far as the Mike McCarthy question is concerned. The structure of his offense would benefit Caleb Williams. And if your criteria for hiring the next Bears head coach, if your number one box that you want to check is get the most out of Caleb Williams, the Mike McCarthy argument would be easy to make. It would be easy to make if you are sitting in that room, whoever's in that committee.
You know, here's the thing. Whether it's Mike McCarthy, whether it's Mike Vrabel, whether it's Pete Carroll, there would be an adult in the room all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I think that's important. Yes, I do see what you're saying, because – right
what
we both have problems with right now, when you're looking at the Bears coaching search and how long it has become and the job fair that it is, we question the football judgment of the lead football man. And I think it's fair. When you're Ryan Poles and you are 15 and 36, I think the longer this goes on and the longer the list becomes, the more it makes you wonder about Ryan Poles, and I think the more it kind of weakens him. Not everybody agrees. We know that. But he needs to hire somebody who is considered to be, I think, a football guy.
Yeah.
A real strong football voice. I think what I'm trying to say is experience.
Yeah.
He needs some experience in the building.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we've talked about that before, and I think it's a good point. Brett is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Brett.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning? This subject comes right on with what you guys just said. Through what I heard is when Ryan Poles was hired, he only had three candidates to decide through. And I believe, I was told, and what I've learned is that Dan Quinn was the guy he wanted to go for, but the committee kind of vetoed it and went with Eberflus. So do you guys feel like if he wanted Dan Quinn, it would have been a totally different regime? And do you think that now, knowing that information...
Where did you get that? I haven't heard that.
I didn't know that, Brett. Yeah, I think it's a fair question, but the Dan Quinn miss was a miss in retrospect.
Yes.
I did not know, and I can't really confirm, that Ryan Poles wanted Dan Quinn over Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I thought Matt Eberflus shared an agent.
Yeah.
With didn't we have a like a gotcha moment where you asked that question?
Well, it wasn't meant to be a gotcha moment, but it was a moment.
Funny. Yeah.
No, I don't think that Matt.
I don't
Eberflus,
know that that's accurate, mate. I don't know where you got that.
But, yeah.
I mean, everybody now everybody's like, I wanted Dan Quinn.
Yeah, he was great. He's great. Whose voice is that? I don't know. But Dan Quinn is a head football coach that brings everything when you're talking about charisma.
He's doing well.
And he hired the right offensive coordinator, and they got things going in Washington.
Let's try Aaron. Aaron is in Markham.
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know why people are even talking about Mike McCarthy as a good coach and Mike McCarthy developed Aaron Rodgers. Stop it. Stop it right now. Mike McCarthy is the guy when you need third, it's 3rd and 5. He's going to throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage and it's going to come up short. Mike McCarthy is the guy who was beating the Bears real bad and decided to do a fake return and they fumbled the ball, which put us back in the game. That's Mike McCarthy. What developed Aaron Rodgers was Green Bay had enough fortitude to draft him while they still had a quarterback that could play.
They drafted him the year they still had Favre and they let him sit behind Favre for how many, 2 years, 3 years, and he was rotting on the vine. I don't know. Listen, I mean, yeah, okay.
There's going to be a lot of Packers angst that comes out, and Bears.
They didn't draft him to start.
Would be
what you're
reluctant to embrace a guy that was on the other side of the rivalry, perhaps. But and I get that, but I don't know that. I'm just a little surprised the Bears with George McCaskey involved. Does that surprise you at all that he would be open to hiring an ex-Packer coach, somebody who won a Super Bowl in Green Bay?
He's removed from the Packers. But let's be honest about it. You know, what the hell's wrong with hiring a Packers coach? Think about, you know, Mike Holmgren was there. And think about all the coaches that were on his staff who became head coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's Mooch
or John Gruden
or Dick Geron. Dick Geron is an ex-Packers coach.
I have no problem with it, but I don't carry around urinal cakes with Packers logos on them either.
Well, that's true.
Okay?
That's true.
So here's a texter that...
He doesn't carry cakes. He carries the guard.
Okay.
Yeah.
That bird, the guard. That's right.
Yeah. Just for clarity's
sake. For the sake of accuracy.
Allegedly.
All right. So 414 text in. I want to hear what your address, how you would address this. All these arguments people are making for McCarthy are precisely what we all said in support of hiring John Fox.
A lot of similarities there. Only Foxy is a defensive guy, and he was a head coach, not a play caller at the time he was hired. You know, Mike McCarthy is his own play caller. He is still putting plays together. He's a working football coach as well as a head coach, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest about it. There is a difference. And you know, what you're looking for if you're a Bears fan is ways to develop the quarterback and get him better. And I think Foxy's problem, like Dave has talked about, you know, you get a guy in here as your offensive coordinator. It was a guy who was up for the job in Adam Gase, and he ends up leaving and taking a job with the Jets, if you recall. And I believe Jay Cutler, of all people, bought him a suit when he went to interview for the job. Jay had his tailor come in and got the guy a suit. So you know, it's interesting that you had the same issue, right? The coordinator turned head coach. Didn't work.
847. Isn't there a McCarthy Way street in Green Bay named after him? I think there is, actually. And then he ends the text with
is it Holmgren Way?
Gross.
McCarthy
won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
he's got a street named after him.
I think it's a Way. I think it's Holmgren Way.
And McCarthy Street?
I don't know.
McCarthy Lane?
McCarthy Avenue?
Find out.
Yeah, we got to look that one up.
Yeah.
Maybe they name them all ways. Let's try Phil. He's in Lombard. Hey, Phil.
I just wanted to mention, I think the most accomplished, respected, and experienced guy out there is Pete Carroll. He is one at every level. And let's face it, we're talking about a culture change. We're talking about going from losing to winning. Pete Carroll will come in here, and he will do it quickly. And I also feel that he, over the years, if you look at his teams, he's always been able to coach according to his talent. Some years he's had very strong defensive teams. Some years he's had dynamic offensive teams, good special teams. The guy knows how to win. I don't think he would be a threat to Ryan Poles either. I think if Ryan would just probably listen to him, he could learn a lot from Pete Carroll as well. I think he would attract very good coordinators because these guys know, let's face it, he's probably, we're talking about a 3 to probably maximum 5 years that he would be in the game. I think he would be the best choice for the Bears. He's won at every level. And like I said, he would come in here and he would change it, and he would change it fast.
Phil, I can't disagree with you at all. I think Pete Carroll would be a guy that would stabilize things and energize everybody, and he might be here 3 years, and 3 good years would be better than what you've experienced. I just don't know that they feel the same way.
Pete's 73.
Yeah.
So you would think it's a 3-year plan.
Yeah.
McCarthy is 61. So you would think he could probably get
more long range
5-year plan.
Yeah. And if you're talking about Caleb Williams and his career, maybe you feel better about Mike McCarthy's longevity potentially.
Yeah.
But I think there's the only downside with Pete Carroll is the age factor, if they want to include that as a criteria. Mully, here's to follow up on the loop. In 2014, in Green Bay, Pott Avenue was renamed Mike McCarthy Way.
Ah, McCarthy Way. Okay.
Yep.
I apologize.
There is a Holmgren Way.
I know there's a Holmgren
and
Way.
And there's a Lombardi Avenue.
I knew that too.
Okay. We've driven on all of them.
Yeah.
Yes. So
is there a Sherman Street?
No, I don't think so.
He didn't do it.
All roads lead to the playoffs.
Okay, that's good. McCarthy Way. All right.
McCarthy Way.
But it's just, now it's like an alley. What? By the way, I believe Holmgren Way, he coached, if I'm not mistaken, in Seattle, right?
He did.
You're allowed to leave and you still get a street. Let's try Stanford. Stanford's on the road. Hey, Stanford.
McCarthy won one Super Bowl with prime Aaron Rodgers. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Why?
Because he doesn't know when to go for it on 4th-and-1. NFC Championship game against Seattle. They have it 4th-and-1 on the goal line. Doesn't go for it. Takes a field goal. He does it again.
Stanford, though, wouldn't you take one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
He wins one Super Bowl.
You know what? You know who else has won one Super Bowl?
Mike Ditka.
The Bears.
The Bears. Stanford, I understand what you're saying.
I don't want some clown to come in here and win one Super Bowl.
One Super Bowl when we can win three.
We need multiple championships.
Multiple championships. Oh, my God. Nothing bothers me more.
Nothing's more annoying. Yeah.
I don't even know at this stage if you need to talk in terms
of... He won't go on 4th-and-1.
Super Bowls. Can you have a winning record in the division? Can you take the North and never give it back? Can you just get to the playoffs? Have a low bar here to clear. Just clear it. Stop interviewing novices. Stop running an executive and training program at Hallis Hall. Hire an adult. Put them into the room and let them win.
Let's try Doug. He's in Oak Lawn. Hey, Doug.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Well, this sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, why didn't they just develop Mitchell Trubisky? We wouldn't be in this situation. He won a lot of games for the Bears.
Why didn't they just draft Pat Mahomes? And then you wouldn't have to. Yeah.
Did you see Mitch get in there the other day to close up for the Bills? He took a knee a couple times. He's got the playoff beard going. he's made a lot of money as an NFL quarterback. Yeah, no, he was the wrong guy at the Bears.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious. Dorian's in Crown Point. Hey, Dorian.
Good morning. Gentlemen, first off, Mitch was not a bad quarterback. He's just in a bad organization.
Okay.
If you remember, Jim McMahon years ago said that the Bears would never be good again because they didn't have any talent upstairs, up at the top. They would dismantle the team. And that's exactly what they've done. They dismantled the team. They don't have good evaluators of talent. They get one player. They don't evaluate them. We could have had Mahomes, but they don't know how to get anybody to put around any good player.
Okay, so I won't argue with you, but you said that Mitch is a good player. He was just on the wrong team. What if you drafted Mahomes? Would he still be a good player, or would he still be on the wrong team?
If we'd had Mahomes with no front line, he'd have been running around just like everybody else with a chicken head, you know, running around with a chicken cut off. As bad as everybody wants to make Mitch Trubisky, he does have the best quarterback touchdown record in a single game.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Dorian. Appreciate the phone call.
Did he say that Mahomes would be running around with a chicken head?
No, he did not. He meant he'd be running around. Well, you know what the rest is. I think the arguments about, you know, Mitch Trubisky or whatever, you want your quarterback to max out potential-wise, talent-wise.
Right.
That is why Mike McCarthy, to many people, would make the most sense because he has a proven track record with getting the most out of his quarterback. Caleb Williams would be his version of Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. And that should excite some people if he were to be the head coach because he has proven that he can get the most out of a quarterback.
Let's try Mike. Mike's in Park Ridge. Hey, Mike.
What's up? Hey, guys. First of all, thanks for the show. Love you guys.
Bless you.
Second, you know, I got to say, I have suspected at various times that the Bears leak information to you guys at the Score and that you guys carry their water for them. And the reason I say that is this. All last offseason, all I kept hearing from the Score was how much better Matt Eberflus was. You know, a few years back when John Fox was being hired, all I heard about was how he was the right kind of coach. And now I'm hearing everybody talking about Mike McCarthy, who would be a disaster of a hire. And my suspicion is that the Bears already know that they're hiring him, and the Bears are leaking the information to you guys. Mike McCarthy won one Super Bowl 15 years ago with the best quarterback that I've ever seen.
Mike, you're being slowly surrounded. Don't panic, but you are being slowly surrounded.
Okay, well, why all last offseason was I hearing what a great coach Matt Eberflus was turning into when all I had seen in 2 years of him coaching this team was him being not up to the job? I wouldn't have fired him at the end of 2023. I would have fired him at the end of 2022.
Well, okay, thanks for the phone call. I think
we both wanted Jim Harbaugh.
After 2022, you couldn't do it. He was part of a orchestrated season of losing.
Yeah.
After 2023, we both agreed that, at least on this show, that Jim Harbaugh made the most sense, and if they wanted to move on from Matt Eberflus, that made a lot of sense.
Matt Eberflus kept his job because he was the defensive coordinator, and we've said that 1,000 times.
And I think he's
a pretty good defensive
coordinator. He is, and that's why he saved his job at the end of the 2023 season. Going into 2024, there were reasons for optimism based on the roster, right. And I think the things you saw in preseason were positive indicators, and let's face it, we all get a little bit carried away with optimism in the preseason. You're going to be wrong. And the projections that the Bears were a playoff team were wildly wrong and inaccurate. So that happens.
Yeah. And the Bears haven't even talked to McCarthy yet. I don't think they're going to hire him.
There's a report that he will be talking to them tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Virtually.
Well, that's how they do it.
That's how they do it these days.
Yeah.
So, when you're interviewing 20 people, I guess it'd be too much to fly in 20 people.
Mike is in Wrigleyville. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, I called yesterday about Brady, but now I'm on with Mike McCarthy. He'd be the best hire. Here's the reason. He knows that division. He knows the Bear-Packer rivalry well. And the other thing, nobody's brought this up. He knows how to coach outside. Ben Johnson right. plays half of his games inside. Throwing the ball, me and my brother were just talking before I called you guys, throwing the ball in Soldier Field is a lot tougher.
Yeah.
It has to be more skilled. I think McCarthy's a slam dunk. Hire him tomorrow if he goes for the interview or next week.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the phone call.
That's a good point.
It's interesting. That's respect for Mike McCarthy's time in Green Bay,
yeah.
what he's able to accomplish, and focusing on the quarterback. If Ben Johnson is available, I still think that he'd probably be at the top of their list. This is, again, I said it last week, and I agree with it. I don't know that Mike McCarthy would be my plan A.
Yeah,
I think that you know he would be somebody
you
could live
with. But if you wound up with him, I think you could live with it, right?
I agree.
I wonder what Bobby Belt thinks. He's doing radio down in Dallas. He's going to come on next and tell us what the problems were or why Mike McCarthy is out with the Dallas Cowboys. And is Deion going in? And why isn't Deion virtually at Hal's Hall today? It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You mentioned that you're a builder, but is there anything else you feel that you specifically bring of value to the Cowboys organization if you were to come back here after your contract expires?
I understand why you asked the questions. I don't like to talk about myself that way, but I'll just be clear. I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship. I won a championship in this building, and that's who I am. So, and we'll see where it goes.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You don't have to Google him. He'll tell you he's a winner. That's Mike McCarthy
confident.
Talking. And we're delighted to head down to Dallas and welcome in Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. He is with the fan. 105.3 in Dallas. Bobby, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are y'all?
Doing well.
We're living the dream, and we should mention that Bobby joins us on the Score Hotline. Is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. So any surprise that McCarthy is gone? And can you explain why last week they wouldn't allow anyone to talk to him, and then they just decided, we'll just pass on him?
You know, it's a surprise in the sense that where things felt like they were heading a week ago, like you mentioned, when they declined permission to the Bears. It's not a surprise in terms of what was he brought in here to do, and did he actually achieve it? And the answer is no. And so I don't think it's a surprise from that sense. I think it's more a surprise to me, honestly, that he hung around after the Packers lost last year in the playoffs, where they just got absolutely embarrassed at AT&T Stadium. But he's somebody who, you heard it there in that clip. You don't have to Google him. He's not Kurt Cignetti. He is going to puff out his chest and believe in his program. But at the end of the day, he didn't make the right difference that he was hired here for. Now, I think that when you're talking about why they declined permission to the Bears last week, it's simple. There's a you can look back about 8 years ago to a guy you guys are very familiar with, Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus was on staff here in Dallas. Kyle Shanahan had gotten hired in San Francisco and wanted to hire Eberflus on his staff there with the 49ers. Cowboys rejected it with no real intention of keeping him past his current contract. And it kind of frustrated Eberflus and made him say, all right, well, when my contract expires, I'm getting out of here because I don't like the way they do business. But I think it basically just comes down to Jerry Jones feels like that's my employee. I don't care that he has 7 days left. I don't care if I'm still determined if I want him back. As long as he's my employee, nobody else is going to get access to him. I'm going to protect that right.
So if Mike McCarthy does become the next coach of the Chicago Bears, and we're a long way from that, but there are suggestions and even a report that he'll be talking to them tomorrow. What do you think he has left in his career? It will be his third stop. You wonder what the Cowboy experience did to him, but what are the pros and cons of hiring a guy who does have a Super Bowl ring?
I do think that there are things to like about Mike McCarthy. Obviously, you mentioned the resume is a big part of it. I think that for Texas players, players generally like him and will play hard for him. And you're not going to have the Matt Eberflus situation where, Jalen Johnson has issues with the head coach late in the season. And there are all these tense points. That's not going to exist generally with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy is still very old school in a lot of his offensive approach. And, there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason sometimes to his game management decisions. And when it comes to just basic execution issues in terms of pre-snap penalties, but not just pre-snap penalties, we're talking about procedural ones, just lining up correctly. Dallas has consistently in the last couple of years been one of the worst teams in the NFL at stuff like illegal formation, false starts. There's different things that comes with you got to be in position. It's very basic fundamental stuff. So not very detail oriented. A guy who is a great personality to have and who will have guys who really endear themselves to him. But in terms of an X's and O's advantage or some sort of, big time culture builder rather than culture preservation, I don't know that McCarthy is that.
That's interesting because I think that's the stuff they need is to get rid of pre-snap penalties. The stuff they need is to kind of clock management at the end of games, believe it or not. They lost a couple of games because they couldn't figure out how to use their timeouts, when to call them, and how to maintain. It's just basic professional football stuff, right? And I think Mike's been through the wars a little bit, and you would think that that would be a speciality, right? He's a working coach. He was calling his own plays. He has his own offense. I get it that maybe the running back room wasn't great, and maybe they were using things that they shouldn't have, but he is a working coach, right?
So it's interesting. There's a little bit of a disagreement here in Dallas about the credit Mike McCarthy gets for his hand on the offense as an offensive play caller. So that was obviously Kellen Moore from 2020 to 2022 while Mike was here. So it was the last 2 years where it was Mike. And Mike McCarthy in 2023, you can go back and look at the numbers through 5 weeks, which was the San Francisco game in 23, where they just got destroyed in Santa Ana. That offense was stagnant. That offense was not very productive. The passing game was archaic. And there was a switch that flipped the next week into the Chargers game. Then they went to the bye, and Dak Prescott goes on and finishes runner-up in the MVP the rest of the way with the way that the offense played. The discussion at that point is, all right, is that Mike McCarthy or did Dak Prescott kind of take over? Because that's the sentiment you get from a lot of people here in Dallas, is that Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, some of the core offensive members kind of pushed back against some of the concepts and said, we can't do this. This isn't, we're not going to win playing like this. And Dak really took command at the line of scrimmage pre-snap and kind of calling things himself. And so to me, his involvement level is always a question, because I think when he's really involved and he's really putting down his fist and saying, all right, this is the way we're going to do things, the offense seemed to struggle. It seemed more like when you had the quarterback kind of in command of the offense is when they had more of their success. As far as the procedural penalties, I mean, you can think over the years here as Cowboys fans do. They think back to Green Bay. Dallas went on the road to Green Bay. Mike McCarthy's first return game back there in 22, I think it was. They lose a game in overtime because Jalen Tolbert just doesn't know where to line up at receiver. He didn't even check in with the official to make sure that he was good. That's in the middle of overtime. They had lost a big lead in that one. That penalty cost him big. And there have been other instances over time where you see, man, this is a crucial, just basic, like middle school football type of understanding that they're messing up. And I understand there's probably a little bit of a grass is greener on the other side mentality for every team that you cover or cheer for, where you say, man, we're so bad at all this game management stuff. I feel like nobody's happy with their game management in the NFL. It seems like it's burning the Cowboys more consistently under Mike McCarthy. I would say that's one of his bigger faults, actually, would be game management.
Are you referring to clock management at the end of games? Because that seems to be the most easy knock from the outside looking in. There have been a couple instances. And I just, and when you refer to also game management, how much did he have in terms of input and control of the roster?
So I think he actually had more input and control on the roster than he realized. A lot of times I don't think he tried to assert himself as much as he probably could have and as much as the Joneses would have let him. So he had his say during draft meetings and would, you know, have an opinion on somebody. But I don't think he ever really sought to assert that. When he was going through the interview process back in 2020, when he went with the Giants, I think he was with the Jets, and then he also interviewed with the Cowboys, he was communicating to all of them that he just wanted to coach. He just wanted to get back. He didn't want to have a hand in personnel. But slowly over time, I think he liked having more of that here in Dallas. But he didn't assert it nearly as often as the Cowboys probably would have let him, which I think to a lot of people, they say, okay, great. You've got Will McClay, your vice president of personnel, who's done a good job drafting and finding steals for you in free agency. Let's let him do that. But the game management stuff, yeah. So clock management late, settling for certain opportunities. There was a game against the Chargers a couple of years ago where he was completely content just running down the last 30 seconds to attempt a 58-yard field goal instead of trying to push it the ball any further. Now, they made it, and so they won that game, and so it didn't end up biting them. But there have been several instances where, man, you're out of timeouts. Why are you out of timeouts? Well, it's because you had procedural stuff that you had to call a timeout for earlier, and then you had a bad challenge, and now you're sitting here, and it'd be nice if you could stop the clock at the end of the game, but you can't. And so clock management, discipline, details, that is one of the bigger areas of frustration, I'd say, for even, you know, big-time Mike McCarthy fans here in Dallas.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Bobby Belt. He's a Cowboys insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. They've already talked to Deion, right? They had a conversation yesterday. I don't know if that's a formal interview. I'm talking about Jerry talking to Deion. They've known each other. There's a history there. Is he the favorite now to become the next head coach? Where do the Cowboys turn, and what do you anticipate them doing?
And I would be very surprised if Deion's actually in play. I think, look, they're friends, Jerry and Deion. Mm-hmm. And I think that it makes a lot of sense for Deion to publicly be tied to the Cowboys job and be able to say, huh, you know, I just love Boulder so much. That probably does something for his stature and for his recruits and for whatever prestige boost he thinks he gets from the program. See, look, I turned out the Dallas Cowboys to be here. And I think for...
We lost Bobby there for a second. Yeah. I don't know if Deion is realistic or not. Sounds like maybe there's some hesitation there. But it definitely would be.
So then are they round up the usual suspects?
For leverage. I think I'm curious. Last question I would have for Bobby, if we can get him back, is are they in pursuit? Bobby, with the Deion aside, are they in pursuit of Ben Johnson? Because he could be the guy who's in play in Vegas. He certainly is, you know, a target for the Bears. And everybody wonders how aggressively the Cowboys could pursue him.
Yeah, I think that, and I didn't hear the first part of that, so my apologies. But circling back to the Deion thing, I don't think Deion is a candidate here because of just, I think that's more a checking off some boxes for both sides. I think the lead candidate here is Kellen Moore. And a reunion with Kellen Moore, I think, is the most likely end game here. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Witten's involved in this, Cliff Kingsbury's involved in this, John Gruden potentially could be involved in this. And so
Ben,
I think
Johnson?
It's got to have to either be
Ben Johnson.
Probably not. No, probably not. In fact, I don't think they would consider Ben Johnson really at all. They look for two things. One, they want previous head coaching experience. If they don't have that, it's got to be familiarity. So that would be Jason Witten, Kellen Moore. Like, they're familiar with those guys, so they're comfortable making them first-time head coaches. But otherwise, I think you got to have, you know, head coaching experience before they go them that well.
Great stuff, Bobby. Thank you. We appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, guys.
It's Bobby Bell.
Isn't that interesting how very quickly he dismissed the idea of Ben Johnson because of the lack of head coaching experience?
Right.
Sub-organizations are loath to hire people who haven't done the job before, or if they are going to, they're people who understand their organization well enough to know what they're getting themselves into.
Well, I mean, and I'm not questioning that, David, but if Ben Johnson wants some control, he's not getting it in Dallas.
It's a good point, too. That's a very good point.
That's not something, you know, the owner isn't going to fire himself.
And that's why Troy Aikman last night on ESPN was very outspoken and candid about that not being as coveted of a job as people are suggesting it is.
Yeah, we'll listen to that next when we come back, and we'll talk a little bit about who covets that job, who doesn't. We can talk to Mike Florio about that. Mike will join us, Mr. Pro Football Talk, next on The Score, Mullion Hall.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat, beat!
We can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's happening to Gator? What's happening to Gator?
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
You know, you interrupted me. You made me miss my spot in Inner Excellence. I'm trying to get a little reading in between radio spots.
I'm just impressed you had the book already and didn't have to order it on Amazon like the rest of the country did yesterday.
It really is amazing. You know, I got a few books out there, and we're going to Philly this weekend. I might have to stash a few on the Eagles bench. Like, maybe if a guy finds one, he thinks it's AJ's book, so he carries it to him, and the camera just coincidentally catches a shot of the book on the sideline. So I'll have access before the game, and you never know where I'm going to stick a book.
That's funny.
Well, you know, I get it. Like, oh, that's his book. He always has the book. It seems like he was targeted three times and he had a book to read. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that it wasn't connected to the lack of feature on the field, or maybe that's the point he was making with the book.
The guy's been playing in the NFL for 6 years now. TV cameras are everywhere. Big Brother in the form of us with our cell phones is everywhere. How in the world had there never been an image of A.J. Brown. Apparently he posted something on Instagram of him from a game earlier this year with one, but the camera was on him and he pulled the book out, and we were standing in the studio getting ready for the pregame show before the Sunday night game between the Commanders and the Buccaneers. And I said, he's got a book. And it looked like that book's been through some things. So it wasn't like it was just fresh out of the Amazon box. He had it around, but how has no one ever noticed it before? If he says, as he said, he reads the book between drives during games, like Jim Courier once did. He was reading a novel during the changeover in the ATP finals in 1993. But again, when guys do it, people tend to notice.
Mike, so the Bears interviewed Ben Johnson over the weekend, and certainly he is the hot candidate. Las Vegas Raiders also reportedly would like to hire him. This weekend, the Lions play the Commanders, and Tom Brady, the minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, will be in the booth for Fox, calling the game that Ben Johnson will be calling for the Lions. Is that an inherent conflict of interest as big as I think that it is?
How dare you mention that? There's nothing to see here. Don't you realize we're in post-standards America where we can say whatever we want, we can do whatever we want, and anybody who would dare question us must hate us. We can never be questioned on the merits of our behaviors or our words. We're only questioned by those who hate us. Haven't you figured that out yet? So hopefully you realize I'm being sarcastic. I've been pointing this out from the moment it was obvious he was going to get approval to be a minority owner of the Raiders. And now as he takes more and more control of the team, it's Tom's team now, an unnamed source told the Las Vegas Review-Journal about Brady's involvement in the coaching search and more. And Mark Davis is smart to let Brady take over. Here, you drive. I don't know how to drive this race car. You're a race car driver. Here, let's go. So it makes sense, but it is a conflict of interest. And Brady's going to do it as long as the owners let him. And the owners let him do it because we all want to have a cool friend. And they have their cool friend, and they're not putting guardrails up. They're letting him do whatever he wants to do. They think he's going to figure out on his own, I shouldn't do it. He's not going to do it. He's going to keep going, because think about the advantage. And I think if more owners view it this way, more GMs view it this way, more coaches view it this way, there'll be pushback. He has an advantage that no other team has. He is going to be able to keep his pulse on the ever-evolving heartbeat of the league. How many times a year? 20 times a year, depending upon how many games Fox has. He gets to do it at the Super Bowl. He gets to scout Ben Johnson. He can't go to the production meeting. He can't talk to him about the job, obviously, but he can talk to him about what his plan is for the Lions. He can talk to him by phone for the game plan, et cetera. And he can learn some stuff that you otherwise don't have access to when you're searching for a coach. It's a problem. It's a problem. Every time I write about it, I get accused of hating Tom Brady. Look, it's impossible to think he's an incredible quarterback, accomplished more than anyone else. He's a C-plus, B-minus broadcaster, and he gets an F when it comes to managing two competing views, two competing jobs, where he has a duty to the Raiders, he has a duty to Fox, and the NFL gets an F-minus for letting him do it.
Mike, we're almost out of time. Condolences on your Vikings losing last night. That was a rough one, and I don't know if that doesn't leave a mark. Sam Darnold, man, that's the second game in a row at the end of the year. He threw for 245, but he lost 82 yards on 9 sacks. He was pressured 23 times. Is he done in Minnesota? There's no $40 million franchise tag coming.
Well, here's the key. And I think we all should factor this into our own lives when we know there's a big decision that is looming weeks, if not months, into the future. The answer tends to reveal itself in time. And when you get to the point where you make a decision, you'll know what you should do. And the Vikings need to move on from Sam Darnold, go with J.J. McCarthy. They made him the 10th overall pick in the draft for a reason. He might have played at some point this year if he hadn't suffered the knee injury in the preseason opener against the Raiders. Maybe you keep Daniel Jones around as the backup, but let Sam Darnold go. They have a deeper issue, too, and I know we don't have much time, but keep an eye on what happens with Kevin O'Connell and his contract. This whole thing about him possibly being traded, that's just not Jay Glazer filling up his quota of news. There's something there. And if the last two games, if that makes the Wilfs say, well, you lost your leverage, the whole thing could go sideways. So keep an eye on that.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Great stuff from him. Hey, we've got Jarrett Payton next on the score. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.